Let me pray for the message real quick. Father God, I thank you for your word. Give us ears to hear today, Father. I know you have something for each and every one of us today. And God, I pray that we draw out every nugget of gold that will bring us closer to you, that will increase our faith, that will give us breakthrough on the enemy's attacks, God. And I thank you, God. It is true. You are on the throne. And you have a plan for us. And it's good. So God, give us great understanding of your Holy Scriptures today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Kind of sounds like a tin can a little bit, but we'll keep going. Title of my message is The Armor of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, the final chapter of Ephesians. Paul the Apostle is chained to a Roman guard awaiting trial for preaching the gospel. He writes this letter to the church in Ephesus. In the first part of this letter, Paul reminds the church of our identity and our position in Christ. Gentiles who put their faith in Jesus have been predestined for adoption into the family of God. We have been chosen by God, filled with His Holy Spirit, and redeemed from eternal death. God has poured out His incomparable riches of grace, giving us power through His Spirit and rooting us in love. God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, is working in us and through us. His beloved. And then in the last half of this letter, Paul reminds the church that we should live like children of God. That we are to put off the old self and put on the new. Every single day. We are to speak truthfully. Be generous with our money, our time, and our talents. Patience, humility, and forgiveness is the new norm. We are to live wisely. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, our King. Finally, Paul ends this letter reminding the church that we are in a spiritual war. Satan and his demonic fallen angels hate us. Temptation, fear, doubt, unbelief, and pride are his footholds in the life of a Christian. He has been defeated by the perfect life and the blood of Jesus Christ. So Satan may not trick a child of God into hell, but he can tempt us with worldly lusts, causing us pain, laziness, greed, pride, and being ineffective. Paul ends this letter with a bang, and it is a bang. Suit up, child of God, and fight the battle. After all, we've won the war. In Christ we win. Amen? All right, let's get started. So I'm going to read the whole Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. I'm going to read the whole thing today for us, but we're just going to get probably to three verses in this. Starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very, very rich, strong, important verses right here. And we got to remember that Paul is chained to a Roman guard as he writes this letter. So he's writing the letter and he's probably looking, you know, led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's all, look to your right, man. You know, and he starts getting revelation at this, what this guy is wearing. And it is so significant for all of us, because we're all going through something. Or if you're not going through something right now, you just came out of something and you're going through something here in a second. It's the way life is. There's blessings and there's trials, like two train tracks running side by side. It's the way life is. It's up, it's down. Seasons of peace, there's seasons of really hard struggles. And so Paul understands this, and he exhorts the church in this so we can stand our ground, so we don't get taken out by life. So let's look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. He said everything he wanted to say through chapters 1 through 5 and into 6. Finally, in light of all that God has done for you, in light of the glorious standing you have as a child of God, in light of his great plan of the ages that God has made you a part of, in light of the plan for Christian maturity and growth that he gives to you, in light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, in light of the filling of the Spirit and our walk in the Spirit, in light of all this, there is a battle to fight in the Christian life. So, be strong in the Lord, not in your own abilities. Be strong in the Lord, not in your own will. We are pounded with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's our sin nature is attracted to that. It's those are the three things that Jesus was tempted with in the desert. So Paul is telling the church, fill your mind with the Word of God. We renew our minds with the Word. That's what I pound it, not because it's a religious duty, not because this is what we do. We go to church and we read our Bible and we lift our hands, and it all of that is it's obedience. It's an action of relationship. Worship is all of that combined. It's not just praise. It's obedience. It's knowing the truth so the truth can set us free. And then, right, we get into Bible studies, we come to church, we read on our own. We begin to know it. And as we begin, the revelation begins of this is who I am. This is who God is. I am in Christ. Now I must walk it out. And that is what life is about, church. Walking out the word of God in obedience through thick and through thin, through good times and through tough times. Because it matters. One day you and I will stand before God and nobody else will be around. Your mom and dad won't be around. Your spouse won't be around. Your kids won't be around. And God will run the tape. What did you do with the life that I gave you? It will be the mercy seat, of course. But it will matter. I think that it's so easy to say, oh, praise God, God is good, when things are good. It just is. He is good. And things are good. But in that goodness, are we focused on the blessing rather than the blesser? Are we focused on enjoying the things that He provides in our life rather than getting in the Word, spending time with Him, spending time in prayer, fellowshipping with God? Or are we just loving the blessings? That's what's hard about being on the mountaintop, I guess. It's not to get distracted by the blessings. Because when we're in the valley, man, Lord Jesus, help me. I need you, God. This week was one of those weeks for me. And I thank God for it because I got to live out what I'm about to preach to you. I mean, it happens a lot, but it was significant that I was getting this message ready. And I had a tough week, guys. Had a tough week. And I felt weak. But the Word of God held me and guided me. Let's look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 10. Because you might think, I'm too weak to fight. I'm this and I'm that and I got this and I got that. This is what Paul says about weakness. It says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I'd be speaking the truth. He was very educated in the Word. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, the dude knew the Word, right? But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do say or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There is a mind shift that a Christian gets to take, that a Christ follower gets to have. And that is, Lord, I'm weak. And it takes us from being ashamed and separating to proclaiming. And this is what, you know, one huge benefit that I see in 12-step programs is they admit, this is who I am. This, you know, I'm laying it out there, and this is what Paul is telling the church, that we can just admit it. Do you steal? Are you a thief naturally? Admit it to God. I'm weak in this area. God, on the self-checkout, I always skip one or two things. I'm just using that as an example. I'm really good about that. But my mind, I'd be lying to you if my mind didn't say, you know, all of them. We got to beep all of them. It's those little things, though. It's the little foxes, right? It's so I admit it to myself. Ooh, that was a bad thought. You know, beep, you know, like, do it anyway, Chris. God's watching me. Nobody else sees me. You guys would never know. But God knows. And Satan knows. So he's saying, look, if we're going through it with somebody, somebody insults us, they're backbiting. Look, we can, and we feel weak, and it's, you know, our hardship, a tough time. Maybe you're going through one of the toughest times in your life. Just admit it. Cling to God. Cling to the word. Lord, you know, my life is yours. And so I ask you, God, in my weakness, let your power rest on me. Work in and through me in my weakness, because God, I can't do this without you. It sets us up. It's walking out our faith. We lean on God and his word. What do? Obey. I obey his word. Our thoughts, you know, it starts there. And our thoughts become words. Our words become actions. Our actions become habits. And our habits become character. And our character becomes our destiny. See why it's so important. And we'll get into it. I'm not going to get specifics on the weapons today, because there's too much meat in this introduction about spiritual warfare. But we'll go into it next week and the week after, so you better come back. But, you know, we can lean. We are not going to be able to fight the devil fisticuffs, human to spirit. We are fighting a spiritual battle that is handled on our knees in prayer. It is handled by renewing our minds with the word. It renews our minds, strengthening our spirit and weakening the flesh. Every time we obey the word of God over those thoughts or our feelings, we make the flesh weaker and the spirit is stronger. Listen, the more effective a believer is for the Lord, the more they will experience savage attacks of the enemy. The devil's not going to waste ammunition on a lukewarm Christian or an unbeliever. He's already got the unbelievers. He's going to be coming after the people that are making a difference. And I don't mean you got to be on a pulpit. I mean, you're making a difference at your work. You're making a difference in your family. You're making a difference in your sphere of influence around you, because that's your pulpit, church. That's all of our calling, is to be a light in the world, is to be the love of Christ, is to so live our lives with a gentle, peaceful spirit that no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what, I mean, I'm not saying we're not allowed to have feelings. have the feelings, feel it. But we lean on God. We lean on God. We trust God. Hard times are literally an opportunity to activate our faith. It's an opportunity to trust God. You can't, otherwise it's just a theory, right? Oh, trust God, you know, obey the word. It means so much more when I've done it. I've been through the fire. I've been there where I just felt weak and I just felt like I couldn't do it. And I cried out to God. I cried out to God for Him to be my strength. I cried out to God for Him to speak to me through His word, something that would enter my heart and give me strength, faith, and hope. And He's faithful. He's faithful. Charles Spurgeon said this: "It is possible that God might use you to scatter His seed with a hand that was never wounded. But He will not use you to minister to the brokenhearted until trials have made you tender and sensitive. Your present painful experience is necessary preparation for something that will give you tenfold joy. If we are not tested, we cannot be victorious. The rule of the kingdom is no battle, no crowns, no conflict, no conquest." Does that make sense? You see how even in that it encourages me that, you know, those tough weeks, months, the seasons where it's just tough, days, maybe hours of the day, whatever, we can be encouraged by this. Oh, here's an opportunity. Seriously. Instead of just, oh man, just, you know, meditating on the problem. We shift our minds and we say, okay, this is a problem. I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to actually execute my faith that I say that I have. I can prove it to myself. I can rely on God. I will really trust Him through this. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You at Your word. I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm leaving the rest up to You. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not going to treat my family bad. I'm not going to yell at people on the freeway. I'm going to have peace. Come on, you know. You're laughing because you know. It becomes an opportunity. Verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." That Greek word for full armor is panoplia. And you know, I might not be saying it right, but the definitions are definitely right. And that's what the most important thing is. It means every weapon of warfare, offensive and defensive. Paul is saying put on every weapon for spiritual warfare, offensive and defensive, that Christ died to give you. That we inherited because we're children of God. We inherit that. The opportunity's there. So why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we put on the armor of God? Okay. Please. Yeah, I know. Don't trip. We need to put on the weapons of God to fight the spiritual, because the spiritual and the natural, again, they parallel each other. Things in the spiritual influence the things in the natural, good and bad, so that we can take our stand. That word stand is histemi, and it literally means to be dug in firmly. To dig our feet in the ground and stand. Because the devil's schemes, methodia or something like that. It's where we get the word methodical. It is orderly systematic error. The devil's schemes are systematically tailored to each one of our fleshly weaknesses. Specifically, it's our own sin nature. And look, the devil, all he can do is tempt us. All he can do is even the devil is under the authority and the sovereignty of the Father. So the Father allows what he allows, and he stops what he stops, because God knows the end from the beginning. And so I don't have explanations of why bad things happen to good people. I just know it's because sin entered the world. And sin, our sin nature causes us to do bad things to good people. Roman soldiers would put spikes on the bottom of their sandals when they would go to war. And this is exactly the picture that that Paul has given. It's that we dig in. We dig in with the armor of God. We dig in with the truth of God, with his righteousness, with salvation. That we dig in, and so we can see, we know. Like, when things happen in our life, oh, this is a test. This isn't just in vain. I'm being tested right now. Let me tell you, when you can have that revelation, it'll put you in a whole different spot when you're going through it. I want to do the right thing. I want to take the high road. I want to tell the truth. I want to forgive if there needs to be forgiveness. I don't want to have this affect me in a negative way. I want it to glorify God and bless my life. Because if I'm going to have to go through the pain of growing in a trial, baby, I want to produce some fruit. Amen? I'm thirsty today. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Satan hates you, and he has a terrible plan for your life. The greatest weapon we have in warfare is not binding Satan. It's not speaking to him, binding him. It's obeying the word. It's obeying Jesus. That's the strongest thing that you and I could do. And I'm not saying, you know, we pray offensively for sure, but the power is my obedience. My obedience to the word, my obedience to Jesus, the way I live and think and speak is more powerful than me rebuking the devil. Does that make sense? 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 through 10. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's our mission. To walk, to do life, and let the glory of God preach out of our lives. Let the Bible literally exude off our lives through the good and through the bad. We're loving people. We're generous. We're kind, we're gentle, and we don't get taken out when the stuff hits the fan. We're still around. We stay firmly grounded. Yet, do we reach out to others? Absolutely. Hey, pray for me. I'm going through it. Hey, it's been a tough week. Keep me in prayer. But my faith is in God, knowing that He knows He's eternal. He's out of this timeline that we're in right now, and He has a purpose and a plan for my life. I have to believe that. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Amen? Amen. Is that I do believe that. I do believe it no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Whether we end up being slaves to robots someday, we have a mission. We have a mission from God. Or that we, you know, or if we're free in the, you know, freest country in the world, that we have a mission, that we don't let all the distractions in our life consume it, but that we enjoy life, we enjoy being free here, but we're on a mission, right? To glorify God, to build His church, to preach the gospel, to make disciples, sharing our faith the exact way you share it. Not how I share it. I share it with my sphere of influence. You share yours with yours. And it'll be in your words, and it'll be perfect. Just open your mouth. Verse 12. Whew, we're not going to get very far today, but come back next week. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That word for struggle is, I think it's pronounced pale, and it means to wrestle, to fight with a strong opposition. We don't fight with humans. We don't fight people. We fight the spirit behind the influence. If there's conflict or, you know, disagreements, remember the Bible says for us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I, as a Christ follower, even in a confrontation, need to remember to care for your needs. If you and I are going through it, I need to remember to care for your needs. Stay in the truth. Be kind. The truth in love, right? Speak the truth in love. Love without truth is hypocrisy, and truth without love is brutality. But to care for your needs in that. And if you do that same thing for me, it's a beautiful thing, because conflict brings forth change. And that's good. It's good when we can work things out together. We face three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. That the word for rulers is arche. And it means first, chief, or beginning. Like, you know, Satan has a hierarchy of angels as well. The authorities, exousia. It's permissible dominion over an area or a sphere of jurisdiction. So there's demonic that are assigned areas. But demons have limited authority, limited by God. Powers of this dark world is cosmocrator, and it's the world system that's opposed to God. It comes from that word that I've shared with you before, cosmos. It's the world system that is antichrist, that is anti-God, that is always coming against us, always pumping out confusion. Man, That's one thing about this world today that, I mean, at least for me, is you don't know really what's true. You know what I'm saying? It's so muddy and convoluted, and it's just like, maybe that's true, or there's some truth to it, but there's just so much confusion in this world, and it's on purpose, by the way. The children of the devil also, and that's, you know, that's part of that cosmos. They're influenced heavily by Satan. And that's Satan's get down. He's a liar, a deceiver. That's what he does. And so, you know, just, I say this a lot, but, you know, be aware. But make sure you balance out. I mean, if you're going to err on anything, please err on reading your Bible more than you're on the internet. You know? Because the internet will suck you dry. I mean, I can only be on there for not long. And I can feel it. It's like, oh, it doesn't add to by any means, right? It's just, it fill you with anxiety. It'll fill you with terrible thoughts. So make sure that you stay in the Word. Because God's on the throne, right? I set my phone down. Oh my God, what's going to happen to this world? I set my Bible down. And I'm like, God's in control. God's got a plan. I'm not freaking out. Right? There's three ways we get attacked too. Dissension, you know, backbiting, all that's, you know, gossip. You know, being mean to each other, just the, you know, dissension. Then there's diversion, you know, getting sidetracked, knocked off course, distracted, like I was talking about, and then destruction. Things in our life get destroyed sometimes, and it takes us out. Doesn't have to, but we need to be aware. It's why Paul is saying, hey, child of God, you are blessed. God is for you, not against you, but you are at war. Don't forget that. Don't be a passive soldier on the sidelines with their helmet off and their sword down and their shield over there and their, you know, because you'll get it when it's time. No, be ready. Be ready. We'll do verse 13. Therefore, he says it again. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Paul this is what he didn't say. If the day of evil comes, he said, when there are, you know, there are hard days coming for us people. And there's, you know, again, I'm not trying to be gloomy or anything. There's good days coming too, but we have to be ready for those days that just knock us off, like ring our bell. It feels like somebody hit you in the face with a brick. Because it happens to all of us. That's why it's so important to fill our minds with the Word of God. And so we've got a renewed, clean mind and a clean heart. And we can stay dug in those times. So we don't run. We don't fall. We don't crumble. We don't run back to the crutches of life that do us no good because it's sin, right? That's the tempting thing, is to do what we've always done. But to stand and trust God instead of grabbing the crutch, because God is literally our crutch. God has won the war. We just have to activate our faith and remind ourselves that this is part of the plan. I may not understand it, God. In fact, I don't even like this. We can be honest, but I trust you. Trust you. You've got a plan in this. You know, we've conquered so much darkness in our lives with God's help, with God's grace, with His power. Let's not give up any ground. You know, going backwards is, although God can do much with that, God's not limited to our failures by any means. But we are to take ground. In fact, when we fall forward, not backward. And if we think about it like this, Jesus didn't attack the gates of hell with the church. Come on, guys, we're going to go kick the devil's butt. Let's go. He did His Father's will. He just did what the Father told Him to do. He obeyed the word even unto death, death on a cross. And when the demonic showed its face, Jesus dealt with it. See, we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of our shortcomings or our sin nature or the demonic, because Christ defeated him. Christ defeated, so we mirror what He did. He just went about doing the Father's will, healing people. And when the demonic roads, you know, came out of the woodwork to fight, He took care of it with a word. That's what we're supposed to do. Live our lives obeying God, obeying the word, and when the demonic pops up his face, we deal with it with the word. We deal with it with authority that Christ gives us. He gave us that authority. So we can take every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Come on now, I'm not the only one with crazy thoughts. I still got them. But I have to grab those and go, no, I'm not playing that game anymore. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So, we'll stop there for today. It's a good place to stop. Next week, we'll start going into the weapons. And we'll get specific about each one of them. And let me tell you something, man. Just studying this has really, really helped me. It's just, I've read it all before, right? We've read these scriptures before. I've read it all before, but just coming back and chewing on this again. God's got a purpose for us in this to really strengthen us. And remember who we are in Christ. We aren't victims of life. We are children of God, promised eternal life in Christ Jesus. Promised that of the anointing and the gifts and the ability, because He gave us His Holy Spirit, we have the ability to walk it out. Like a Christ follower. Amen. Yay, Lord. So I don't want to end this service without giving everybody an opportunity. You know, Salvation is such a wonderful gift. It's nothing that we earned, just like it's nothing that we can lose. But it's by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. The grace of God, my faith in the finished work in the cross, in Christ alone. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not die, but have eternal life. The eternal death is not happening for a child of God. In fact, physical death is just a transition into the glory forever and ever. So, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, salvation has come to this house today. Or maybe you have and you want to rededicate your heart. I want to give you that opportunity. And I specifically say this, that it's not the prayer that saves you, okay? It's the God you're praying to who does. And I know that it starts somewhere. So, and we know here at this church, that's why we want to give you an opportunity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart to him today, just raise your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Stick around. Get in the middle of the pack. We're not perfect here. We never claim to be, but we love Jesus. We're running towards him. So let's pray this prayer together. And it's a profession of faith. Church, will you help me out? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I'm yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray over you, church. Father God, I just shine your face upon your people as they go. Lord, I thank you for your word. Let it strengthen us this week. Draw us closer to you. Activate our faith that we may shine your love and goodness all over a dark, dying world. Bless your people as they go. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.